Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discuss mental health programs for our service members and learn how the PGA is helping the VA with veterans therapy. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
As we prepare to celebrate Father's Day this weekend, I want to recognize all the fathers and grandfathers in our military family. To the fathers that serve, thank you for your service and dedication to our state and country. Balancing the demands of military and family life is not easy. It's inspiring to see service members take on that challenge so willingly. We can't forget to acknowledge the fathers and husbands of our service members. It's difficult whenever a son, daughter, or spouse is deployed. The love and support you provide makes it easier for all of us to serve at home and overseas. Please join me in wishing all the dads out there, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to talk about how the PGA is helping the Veterans Administration with veterans therapy. And joining us for this segment is Casey Gunderson, who's worked at the Minneapolis VA since 2006, starting in polytrauma, then moving to the Pain Center. Blending recreation with therapy to make leisure and community access possible for the veterans she serves. She has a special interest in the therapeutic value of movement, adaptive golf, and the healing power of stories. Casey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Casey, last time we were on, we were talking about how you were working on some kind of groundbreaking areas to get veterans to get up out of the chair and get moving, and all the things you can help them to stay active so that they feel better as a result of it.
That's exactly right, and we're still up to it. We're still encouraging and cheerleading veterans to get up and move their bodies and reconnect with the things that bring them joy, and we're currently just on the very beginning of our golf season.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but Casey, I wanted to let you know we've got a special co-host in the studio today. It's Jason Burley, and so if you hear another voice asking questions, he's a little younger than I am, and he's a veteran of the Minnesota Army National Guard, as well as some other services, and I'm sure he's got some great interest in keeping moving, and I know he likes to golf. I don't know if he's any good or not, but we'll get to that. So, Casey, when you went over and started working on the therapeutic value of movement, did you immediately start with the golf portion, or were you just trying to get veterans up and get them to go?
Right. Well, you know, my degree in recreation therapy is sort of rooted in, we know that people do really well when they've got something in their life that is meaningful. And for a lot of veterans and a lot of people in general, moving their body in some form or another, whether it's dance or walking or swimming or what have you, using your body is really important. So that's always been important to me as a recreation therapist. But really in 2009, when we were approached to explore golf as a possibility to offer to some of our veterans, that it kind of focused my attention a little bit.
So how are the veterans taking to your programs? I'm a patient at the VA, and every time I go out there, you've got veterans of all ages. Some of them are quite a bit older than the others, but how do they take it when you say, let's get moving?
Quite well. You know, it's all in the approach, and it's all in how we invite people to do things. But I think fundamentally, we as a rec therapist are, we're the ultimate cheerleaders, and we have belief that if you want to do something and you have a desire, we can help you do it. Sometimes it's changing how you do it with your body or the rules you play by or the amount of time, but there's a way to reconnect to what you want to do. So we've learned the ways to kind of encourage our veterans to resume or reconnect with some of the things that maybe they've let go of. And sometimes it's a matter of finding something new instead to kind of replace that previous leisure outlet.
So, Casey, is this on an individual basis with your veterans? Is this kind of the art of what's possible, depending on what shape they're in and what type of maladies they have?
Exactly. And, you know, depending on where they are in their injury or their healing, you can start little elements of what they love. So, you know, if they like tennis, maybe if they are, you know, not ready to get up and walk, they hold a tennis racket and practice swinging in bed, and then maybe we stand up and swing the tennis racket. And so we use these little tiny building blocks to kind of get them back to their full participation.
We're speaking with Casey Grunderson from the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Casey, as this thing evolved, can you tell us when and how did the PGA and the VA hook up together with your programs?
Sure. It was in 2009, and we had a veteran who was receiving care here at the VA and was also an avid golfer, and thought that that other veterans might like to do the same. So he approached Paul Kelly, we call him PK, which was the pro at his golf course, and they came to us as rec therapists and said, what would you think about offering golf to veterans? And it took no less than 10 seconds, and we were all on board, and we could all see that it was great. So we started with six veterans and did some learning for the first couple of years and, what's the best way to offer golf to veterans? How do we maximize our time together? And then we grew and brought on some more trained pros and added a winter program. And so we kept going and evolving and learning. And so now we're up to about 18 veterans on Mondays when we meet, with some bonus programs as the PGA Hope program has continued to grow.
So, Casey, do the PGA pros, are they able to understand the condition the veterans are in and help them adopt their condition to the point where they can hit the ball?
Very much so. I cannot speak highly enough about the PGA teaching pros. They are incredible teachers to whoever they meet. They are flexible. They are responsive. You know, they go in a little bit blind. Sometimes the teaching pros are able to show up for a handful of sessions, and they can meet these folks, and they kind of get a quick rundown of what's going on. But, boy, they jump in, and, they can make little changes. They can make big changes. But all in all, I've seen every single veteran walk away from our sessions with more confidence, with more ability to connect with their bodies. And I just can't speak highly enough about our teaching pros that we've been able to be connected with. They're absolutely incredible.
Casey, this is Jason. It brings up an interesting question. You know, does this replace traditional physical therapy, or is it complementary to physical therapy, or how do those two things intersect?
Oh, sure. That's a great question. So often it's in tandem, or if veterans have kind of gained some traction in physical therapy or done some learning in occupational or physical therapy, or actually, interestingly, in speech therapy, if they kind of need an outlet or they need a next step, we're often a really great place for folks to jump in, right? We jump in at that point. It's not unheard of for us to work very closely with our physical, occupational, and speech therapists as a means to get people to take that one more step, right? What we want people to do is learn the skills in clinic, learn them in the hospital, and then be able to use them in everyday life. And so by providing a program like this, we're able to kind of provide a little bit of structure for them to practice these skills in a real life setting with all the variables. So it's kind of a both and situation. Sometimes it's on the forefront of physical therapy, but most often it's after they've gained a little bit of traction and a little bit of learning in other disciplines.
Casey, how far can you go with veterans with disabilities? Can we go all the way to getting paralyzed veterans that can use their arms to get a special cart and get out there and golf as well?
Absolutely. If we believe that if you want to do it, we will find a way to do it. So the cool thing about golf is it is so adaptable, and there's unbelievable equipment available, different golf solo riders and things like that that can get somebody out golfing, given whatever's going on with their body or in their heart or their mind.
Now, do you have some funding to help with some of the specialized equipment for our really disabled veterans?
So we were able to access some community partnerships to trial some of that equipment. And we use our partnerships with PGA Hope and our partnerships with Courage Kenny to really give our veterans an opportunity to try those pieces of equipment. And surprisingly, it's often very simple equipment that works the best for some of our folks.
Casey, I'm glad you brought that up, because we have to take a short break. When we come back, Casey's going to be joined by a golf professional, and we're going to talk about the PGA Hope program. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm in the studio today with my co-host, Jason Burley. We've been talking to Casey Gunnarsson, works at the Minneapolis VA, and her special interest is in therapeutic value of movement, adaptive golf, and healing power of stories. And Casey, we've been talking about how you're trying to get your veterans moving, get them doing whatever activities they can do. And at the end of the first segment, we started talking about the PGA program and PGA Hope. We've got a special guest today. Would you like to introduce him?
I would. I'm delighted that Benny Metchen is able to join us today. And gosh, you guys are in for a treat. He started offering veterans programs at the PGA Tour Superstore just in the last couple of years, and it has really taken off. He's taken a keen interest to caring deeply for veterans and offering them another opportunity to connect with golf.
Benny, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you, Casey, for a wonderful introduction. I have got a lot to live up to.
Benny, we're going to hurt you now because I think I ran into you about 20 years ago. I took three golf lessons from you, and the rest of that year I was able to hit my driver like crazy, but it didn't stick. What happened?
It didn't stick. Well, you're going to have to come back in for a tune-up. Well, it's there. We just got to find it again, right? You had it, and then you lost it. That's kind of the nature of golf, right?
So I need some remedial training.
Some days you don't.
All right.
Well, the training certainly helps because we can see what you can't, right? You don't see your swing, but you feel it. So we can fix it, you know, once you understand what the problem is.
And Benny, Jason Burley is a veteran too. He retired from the Minnesota Army National Guard, and he wants to know if you can help him too.
I have given over 35,000 golf lessons. I believe that I can help pretty much everybody. But you have to put a little work in, right? You have to do a little bit of the range time and figure it out on your own, but we can certainly get you going in the right direction.
All right. And there's hope for us. And that's what we want to talk about right now, the PGA Hope Program. Can you tell me what that's about, Benny?
Yes. The acronym is Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. And I'm at an event today, actually. We're doing the 100 Holes for Hope at Mount Frontenac Golf Course. And we have about 25 pros, and we've got five or six veterans that are also participating. So a wonderful event today. But the program is set up to help our veterans through golf. It's the vehicle to get them moving and feeling better and gaining confidence and that camaraderie ship that they don't have when they're living on their own or going to things on their own. When they can get together as a group and have that camaraderie, it changes their whole outlook on what they're doing and how they're doing it. And golf's that vehicle. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what the whole program is about.
Get them outside, get some fresh air, and don't worry too much about the score. Now, Benny, can you tell me, how did you...
...patient points to stay and keep current with my PGA status. And I was at a Hope seminar because I got 9 points for the day. It was an all-day seminar, and Judy Alvarez was the presenter, and she said something that really stuck with me. She said, this program could be the program that gets that person out of their house, and it might be the only thing that gets them out of their house for the week, and it can change people's lives. And I thought, you know, that's something that I need to do. And when I got back, I thought, well, how do we do it? You know, here's a great program, but how do you do it? And I reached out to the VA through PK, who she mentioned, and I said, how do you do this? Who do we reach out to? And so we reached out, got in touch with Casey and with Kristen, and we had a meeting and said, okay, who do you have that would benefit from this program? And that's how we started. We got our first, I think it was about 10 or 12 participants to come from the VA. And that's how our program started, and it has flourished over the years. And now we do 3 sessions a year. We're doing about 20 vets in each session. We want everybody to come that wants to come because we know we can help you. We know it's exciting. We've got some great success stories from it as well.
We're speaking with Casey Gunnarsson and Benny Metchen from the VA and the PGA on Minnesota Military Radio. Casey, it sounds like you've got an exciting partner here. Benny sounds pretty revved up about helping veterans and helping them determine what their capabilities might be and how he can help them get out in the fresh air and play some golf.
passionate is putting it lightly. Benny has a special place in his heart for veterans, and I believe that that is one of the reasons why his program is flourishing and growing, and he has helped countless veterans really reconnect with who they want to be and do a little golf on the side.
And Benny, when you meet some of these veterans, I imagine some of them have some disabilities that are pretty debilitating. Have you had any big challenges on helping them adapt and get out and play the game?
Well, you know, it's like regular golf, honestly. I'm going to say that seriously. Everybody has limitations, right? They have bigger limitations than an average person, but we can overcome those. We can do it a little bit at a time, right? We take little steps and we change something just a little bit here or a little bit there. And success to them might be hitting a ball 100 yards versus somebody that wants to hit it 300 yards, right? So we set the expectations that this is what we can do and we're going to do that. We have all kinds of equipment like Velcro gloves. So if they have real poor hand strength, we can put Velcro gloves on so they can hang onto the club and gain that confidence. We've got adaptive equipment that we can use that makes it shorter or longer to make it easy for them if they have back issues. So for me, I look at it and I'm honest with them. They're honest with me. What can we do? What can't we do? And we work around those and we make it work. I'm a firm believer that we can all succeed in a certain way. You know, is somebody that's in a wheelchair going to hit it 300 yards? Most likely not. But if they could hit it 50, that's like them hitting it 300 yards. So, you know, we keep it simple. We enjoy it. We make sure they're having fun. And that's the biggest piece, is just making sure they're having fun and they're comfortable, they're confident, and they feel safe in our program.
Benny, I think it was Jack Nicklaus who said that the biggest limitation most of us have is the 6 inches between our ears. And I imagine there's some of these veterans that just, from a mental standpoint, don't think they can play golf. Do you and Casey work together to get them past that?
Yeah. You know, I will tell you a story, and I think this will sum it up quite well. We had a person come in that had PTSD and had never really played golf and was very quiet, introvert. Got through their program, came to our program, and the first couple sessions didn't say a lot, didn't do a lot, but we encouraged, and all of a sudden one day in a putting green, he was making some putts. And he opened up to me, and I kind of found out what he did. And the next thing you know, we get clubs donated to our program. So we supplied him with a set of clubs because he didn't have a set. And we gave him a free set of clubs. And this last year, he played 126 rounds of golf. And today he's actually playing in our 100 Holes of Hope and raising money for our program. So everybody can do it. I would have never guessed that this person could do it when he walked into our program. But he is the poster child for hope. He actually is what the program is all about. So I believe everybody can do it.
Benny, that clearly a lot of passion around the game of golf, the love of the game, and then this intersection with veterans. Is there a personal connection that drove you to look to help veterans, or how did that connection happen?
Well, you know, it was that, again, back to that line that Judy Alvarez said, that this could change somebody's life. And I thought, you know, I've been teaching golf for a long, long time, over 20 years, 25 years. And, you know, I help people play golf, but I never thought about that it could change their life. But I see it literally every day. And that's what motivates me. Our first class, we saw people change. And it wasn't so much that they hit the golf ball all that much better, but it was the physical activity, the camaraderie, the belief in them when they came into the building that we're going to have fun, this is going to be a great thing for you. And I've watched people open up and change, and that is way better for me as a person than to see somebody hit it 300 yards. Honestly, it's life-changing. It's changed my life, and I'll be doing this until I can't do it anymore.
Benny, thanks for helping our veterans. And Casey, I want to come back to you. We just got about a minute left. If our veterans are eligible to come to the Minneapolis VA, how do they get in touch with you? How do they get into this program?
Sure. So there's a couple different ways they can reach out to Recreation Therapy and Voluntary Services. And they can also look at the PGA Hope website. There's plenty of opportunities, tons of opportunities throughout the metro area. So either through the Minneapolis VA Recreation Therapy or looking on the PGA Hope website, we'll get a golf club in their hand and getting them out swinging.
Casey, thanks for joining us today. Benny, thanks for helping our veterans. If you want to reach Benny, you can find him at the PGA Superstore out by Ridgedale. And, of course, if you want to get a hold of Casey, just go to the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, and you can find all the information you need there. And to both of you, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Thanks very much, and come see me. I'll fix you.
I'll hold you to that. Thanks, Benny. For our audience, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to discuss mental health programs for our service members. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to discuss the mental health programs for our service members. And I'm here in the studio today with my co-host, Jason Burley. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Today, I want to spend a few moments recognizing Father's Day across Minnesota. These dads might be veterans, they might be currently serving, returning home from a deployment, or they may have suffered the loss of their own son or daughter in the service to this country. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role that you have played in the lives of our children and our families across Minnesota. Actions speak volumes about love and commitment, and simply being there sets the example and grounds our children. This Father's Day, I encourage dads to spend time instilling the importance of service and volunteering to the community, to those in need, and to this country. This is a time to demonstrate to our children the power of serving others. Not only does it help our children grow and develop into generous and caring adults, it gives back. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the 327,000 veterans across this great state, best wishes for a wonderful and meaningful day of celebration and fun on Father's Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. For our listeners that have been with us the last few years, you've heard about my co-host, Jason Burley. He retired from the Army National Guard a few years back and was in public affairs. Jason, we've got a guest coming on here that's going to talk about current mental health trends in the Minnesota National Guard, something that I'm sure you were paying attention to and watching in your most recent position when you were in the Guard.
Well, certainly that is the case, and we are delighted to have joining us now Danielle Breitenfeldt, the Director of Psychological Health for the Minnesota National Guard. Danielle is a 19-year mental health professional, certified in DBT, TF, CBT, and ART therapy, serving in the Army National Guard for over 20 years, was a combat engineer, a platoon leader, company commander, and battalion operations officer. Danielle, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
But as we jump right in, I mean, this is a big topic. A lot happening around mental health, not only in the Minnesota National Guard, the military, but just generally. What is the spurring the things that are happening today in this space?
Well, I think prior to COVID-19, we did see, you know, relationship stress being the biggest trend in the Minnesota Army National Guard. And after COVID-19, and then, of course, few state active duties for our soldiers and airmen, and then also, you know, deployments and that kind of thing, we've seen more of an uptick in relationship stressors. But I'm going to say this about relationship stressors. I think soldiers come to us when things get so uncomfortable, and relationships is one of those things that make it uncomfortable. But once we start peeling back that onion a little bit, we realize that the relationship stressors was what got them in the door, but we have to address a lot of other stuff that kind of compounded the relationship being stressful in the first place. So there's always that, you know, and knowing that there's more complex of an issue than just not getting along with your spouse or partner.
I would imagine you see a lot of things present themselves as symptoms, but are not necessarily the root causes you just alluded to. What are you finding as are those root causes? Is there some trend in what those root cause issues are?
Sure. Yeah. So what we see a lot of is, you know, just I'd say the biggest one is, you know, them having some type of adverse childhood experience, and it being, you know, chaotic from birth to
to, you know, them being an adult in some aspect, in some way, whether it was an alcoholic father or abusive mother, or just, you know, living in poverty. Those things tend to be really the root of the issue. And what happens with those experiences is that as a child and young adult, you're not afforded the opportunity to learn how to cope with things, how to problem solve, you know, and obviously not to, and obviously how to have a healthy relationship with people and maintain them. So really it, the root cause usually has something to do with some type of experience that happened in childhood that really helped or made them miss out on some key adulting skills, I'd say.
We're speaking with Danielle Breitenfeldt, the Director of Psychological Health for the Minnesota National Guard. You know, mental health is a tricky subject to begin with, and our soldiers are usually very strong-willed and minded. How difficult is it to get them to ask for help?
Well, it's interesting. What usually seems to happen is one person is brave enough to raise their hand, and then the soldiers start to see that person's life change because of raising their hand and getting help. And then all of a sudden I get this cluster of people that hang out with that person that are like, wait, my battle buddy's not angry anymore, and now I have nobody to be angry with, so now I want to get in on whatever they learned here. And I get that a lot when it comes to referrals is really, I watched my battle buddy do, you know, come here and get help, and I think it's time for me to get help. So that's a very common conversation I have with soldiers.
Danielle,
and then,
is,
you know that, oh, go ahead.
Well, this is Tom, Danielle. I'm wondering, the last couple of years have been very busy. We've had lots of deployments overseas with the federal role and the state call-up because of the pandemic, because of the civil unrest. Over 100,000 man days in the last year, I think is the busiest year of state call-ups. Is that putting stress on our soldiers and airmen? Is that causing some of these issues to crop up at this time? Because are we wearing them out?
Well, they're definitely wore out, but they're Minnesotans, and we know something about our Guard, even from the time of the Civil War. Our Guard has always been one of the most hardworking and most professional organizations from the inception, and so that still stands today. Yes, our soldiers and airmen are wore out. We have, like you said, served extensively within the last year to year and a half here, and has it caused more relationship stress? Yes, it has. We see more, you know, some more breakups because of the uncertainty and instability within them being in the geographical location and be able to maintain that relationship. And we see, you know, just with the deployments and stuff, we see a high rate of divorce and separation and breakups as well with those. So, yeah, I mean, it's a trend. And like I said, generally it's the tip of the iceberg when we really start peeling it back, but it gets them in the door, and definitely something that's increased here in the last year.
How long have we had this position as a director of psychological health for the Minnesota National Guard? I don't recall that, and how do you intersect with soldiers on a regular basis?
Okay, yeah, so the director of psychological health was the state behavioral health officer position, and that, boy, I wouldn't be able to tell you the exact date, but I want to say 2015 is when it came into inception. Prior to that, we did have contractors on staff that were part of going out to units and seeing soldiers and stuff, but it was all under a private contract, and they really had no guidance or accountability, and so our program was very disjointed and very reactive at the time. And so now, since 2017 and me coming on to staff, and then I have a counterpart, too, that is down in Cottage Grove, we have really developed this program into something that's more proactive and more engaging with soldiers and units prior to a major crisis. So that's been nice to really establish that and really engage and be able to embed with those units so that when something does come up, we've already been working and engaging with that soldier or unit already.
And how is that? I mean, have you integrated into the command programs, the other safety programs, things like that? How does that come to fruition, and how do commanders participate?
Yeah, for sure. So I always present at the Commander and First Sergeant's course, which is a course that all of our new commanders and first sergeants go to, and say, hey, this is me. This is how I can help you. Here's the procedures. Here's some common, you know, things that happen and how to handle them. And then they have the ability to ask me questions, too. So there's that piece of it. That's a critical piece for my position. And then I have three, I guess, counterparts that are psychological health coordinators, and they're licensed mental health professionals, too. And they're assigned a third of our force. There's three of them. And what they do is monthly they talk to the readiness NCO, which is the head NCO of every company, and talk about their at-risk soldiers and set up dates and times for them to come and engage with the unit. And they also talk about the at-risk tracker and any soldiers that are on the tracker that have already been identified as at risk. And so they can kind of find a way forward and get an update from the unit and from the mental health professional as well. So that's really how we do proactive engagement in the Guard right now.
Well, we look forward to following up on a few of these things, but we have to take a break right now. We'll be back with more on trends in mental health in the Minnesota National Guard. This is the Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your co-host, Jason Burley, along with Tom Lyons, and we're talking today with Danielle Breitenfeldt, the Director of Mental Health for the Minnesota Army National Guard. Danielle, welcome back. As we follow up from some of the comments from our previous segment, we talked a little bit about the high op tempo of the soldiers and airmen of the National Guard. How do you work with the resiliency programs, and can you tell us a little bit about the high level of resiliency of our soldiers and airmen?
Yeah, so we work closely with the resilience program and just being able to help facilitate them or guide, you know, kind of give them feedback on what types of conversations leaders should be having with soldiers and really some of the trends that we're seeing. We tend to get together as a full-on resilience team and kind of case consult, if you will, on units based on their climate survey or workplace survey, I guess, in civilian terms. And so we do that, and then we allocate resources, whether it's behavioral health, chemical health, or financial stress counselors, that kind of thing, to that unit. And so that's part of what we do. We also have the booklet for resilience and also contribute to conversations that would go into that book so that there's conversations leaders have with their soldiers about resilience and really, you know, how to address certain struggles and how to communicate with others and that kind of thing. So we help with that. And then we have an overall soldier at-risk tracker that we continue to facilitate and be part of tracking soldiers and discussing soldiers as well.
Danielle, this is Tom. I'm wondering if the family members, the wife, children, see that the service member has changed somehow. They're struggling. They're having some mental health problems. Can the family members reach out and ask for help?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the five of us who are on staff are also credentialed to talk to family members and provide short-term counseling and services to them as well. So a family member can always give us a call, and we've had that happen a few times, where especially if a soldier's deployed and they're like, we're very worried about the soldier, can you check in with them, that kind of thing. So, yeah, absolutely, family members can give us a call, and we can chat and, you know, within the limits of confidentiality, discuss things with them.
What's the best way for others of us to engage those that are struggling? You know, is there a way for us to help? Or
yeah, there's always a way to help. I think the biggest thing is, you know, showing empathy towards them, and understanding too. Like, a soldier is never going to come out and say, "Hey, I'm really struggling. I have drill Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I have no one to watch my dog." Like, service members don't do that. So in that situation, if you're the neighbor of a service member and you know that they have a dog, they're more apt to take help if somebody offers it without them asking. So go over and say, "I know that you have drill this weekend. Could I watch your dog? I enjoy having him at my house anyway," right? So that's kind of in the context of helping and supporting service members know that they don't generally just come up and ask for help. So you really got to, you know, have that empathy, be able to engage with them and build that relationship so that you can assist them just on a day-to-day basis. But if they are also struggling with mental health issue, there's definitely all kinds of resources for veterans and service members. The Veterans Crisis Line, our number, our crisis line, the National Suicide Hotline, those are all numbers that I don't have most of them offhand, but they can be Googled, and you can, you know, give those to a service member or call someone to, or help them call someone as well.
Well, it's a nice segue, and we have a broad audience and a lot of folks that listen to the program. And if a member of the National Guard is experiencing difficulties, what's the best way for them to reach out to get help?
Well, using our 24/7 crisis line, if they're a member of the National Guard, is really that gateway, because we can kind of see the background on whatever's going on with them in the computer system too. So using the number 651-282-4029, and that'll get you to one of us five mental health professionals. We're on call 24/7. So
very good.
That would be a first one. Otherwise, you know, walking them to the Cottage Grove Armory, where there'll be a mental health professional on staff always, and then, otherwise at Camp Ripley at our clinic there on post, there's a mental health professional there as well.
Danielle, a lot of heavy lifting in this space. Mental health is a serious issue across our military. Thank you for all that you're doing, and thank you for being on the show with us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
That was Danielle Breidenfeld, Director of Psychological Health for the Minnesota National Guard. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Sergeant Major, I understand you're calling from about a half a world away. Where are you?
Currently I'm in Slunj, Croatia.
Croatia. Well, that begs the question then. The Minnesota National Guard's got two state partnerships. I understand they're with Norway and Croatia. Can you explain the state partnerships?
Well, absolutely. So Norway's actually an exchange, a little bit of a difference, but we have had an exchange with Norway going on, I think, about 48 years now. The difference being is the state partnership started in 1993, and the exchange that we've been running with Norway is the longest running one, period, for any organization in the Department of Defense. But with Croatia, we started that partnership back in 1996, and essentially it was kind of a way to thwart, the Eastern Bloc countries kind of disintegrated. It was a way to bring them into the fold within NATO and start, you know, training relationships with them to make sure they stayed on the west side of the line. Excuse me. But yeah, we've had a relationship now going on 25 years with Croatia, and it's been just a fantastic opportunity for our soldiers and airmen to, get to do theater security cooperation type training and, you know, partner building and overall creating great relationships.
Sergeant Major, some years ago, you know, this show's been on the air for 11 years, but we talked to some groups that were going to Afghanistan. They called them OMLETs. It was Operational Mentoring Liaison Teams. And I understand that our state partnership with Croatia, you went from training partners to allies in combat when those teams went to Afghanistan.
That's absolutely true, Tom. I think I was in and out of the state for a period of time, but I believe we've done probably 11 OMLETs, and that's one of the things we're looking at this year is kind of revisiting them. Later in July, we will have the Chief of Defense, the Ministry of Defense, their Command Senior Enlisted Leader, among other dignitaries, coming to Minnesota to recognize our 25 years of partnership. And one of the things we're looking at is just having some of the individuals that were involved with the OMLETs be present as well.
And Sergeant Major, as I recall, I think the senior political leaders of Croatia have been here to Minnesota, and they've been up to Camp Ripley, and this partnership goes deep with those folks in Croatia.
It does, and you know, the beautiful thing is it's not just military to military, but it's also military to civilian, as an example, or civilian to civilian, where we can have our corporations and businesses and educational institutions within the state of Minnesota working in conjunction with like-minded organizations within Croatia.
And Sergeant Major, I understand you said that our partnership with Croatia started in 1996, but in 2009, Croatia became a full member of NATO. And so you were there before and after that. That must have been pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you know, and that brings a lot of benefit to the country of Croatia as well, having that partnership with NATO, you know, and then within the UN as well. So they get to do other deployments based on that relationship, and, you know, it brings them within the fold within, you know, that treaty organization as well.
So, Sergeant Major, this relationship, I think, extends to the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota National Guard. And is there some cybersecurity training going on the last few years?
As you mentioned, there is some right now. Major General Clyborn, and we had a general from Iowa as well that were over here. And there's an exercise going on right now as we speak, Adriatic Thunder, and involves the country of Croatia, Kosovo, and the United States, you know, working on our cyber technology, cyber warfare, you know, making sure that we're interoperable amongst our three countries.
Sergeant Major, just got a few seconds left. Sounds like this partnership, state partnership with Croatia, has been good for both parties.
Oh, it absolutely has. And, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, it starts out as one thing and it's continually progressing and morphing into other areas that, you know, are mutually beneficial to both our countries.
Sergeant Major, thanks for taking time out of your trip to Croatia to call in today.
You bet. I appreciate it. Nice talking to you, Tom.
Safe travels, Sergeant Major. That was a senior enlisted leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Casey Gunderson, Benny Menton, Danella Breitenfeld, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, and my co-host, Jason Burley, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about help available for veterans in higher education and hear from our Minnesota Red Bulls currently deployed to the Middle East. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.